Brady Bunkus. Wait, it was 4 o'clock. And yeah, like the guy who loves that song, Zawa Noah, like he does not give two craps about the big lights in New York.
Well, unfortunately, Alec Manoah didn't get to hear that version of that song yesterday. It was a couple years ago. So what the Yankees used to do is they would play the Sinatra version after a win and the Liza Minnelli or Lucille 2 version, if you are an Arrested Development fan. After a loss, they'd play the Liza Minnelli version. Liza Minnelli's camp complained about that. They didn't think it was very nice to play her version for a loss. Now they just play the Sinatra version, win or loss, which I think is 10 times worse. You play the same song whether you win or lose.
That's awful.
What the heck are we doing?
That's really so stupid. Again, like, this is such a weird thing that, and we're all guilty of this sometimes in terms of, like, our Twitter or Instagram fames, where we think, like, something's a bad look and it's not until you actually make it a bad look. Liza Minnelli's camp doing that. That's, like, awful. This is really stupid look. It's like, that's the way you have something fun for Yankees fans and then you just look like a celebrity complainer. And guess what? Now nobody thinks about you at all with that game because your song is gone. Like, why wouldn't you want your song played? I don't get it. I think that's a horrific decision. What is never a horrific decision is having our next guest on. He's excellent. We enjoy speaking to him. It's Mark Feinsand, MLB Network insider, MLB.com executive reporter, and author of Mission 27. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
We are doing great because we just watched Alec Manoah spin another gem against the New York Yankees. The kid absolutely has no fear. He loves pitching under the bright lights. He loves pitching against the Yankees. It's always hard to quantify, you know, what someone is around baseball. So maybe we can just stick to the American League East. But what do you think the buzz is now already when it comes to Alec Manoah, second-year pitcher, and his ability to spin it against, the league's most famous team?
Well, certainly when you put up the kind of rookie performance that he did in his 20 starts last year, the biggest question is always, okay, so people see him once, they're going to see it again. How's he going to follow that up? Is there more pressure to live up to the expectations now that you've, posted a solid rookie season? Well, I would say so far the returns on his sophomore season are pretty good. So I think people are looking at him as if he's going to be as good as advertised and you pair him with Berríos and Gausman, all of a sudden the Blue Jays are even scarier than people may have thought they were initially.
Yeah, that's definitely how a lot of people here are feeling about it. That he's already, like, we looked at the betting lines today, and he's eighth in the American League in Cy Young odds, which was a little bit surprising, but because we looked at it as he's still relatively an unknown. But do you think that's the case? Like, around baseball right now, do you feel like Alec Manoah is still an unknown, or is he becoming someone that, yes, does pique the interest around the sport?
I think those who have seen him are certainly paying attention. I think if there's any unknown factor, it's just the matter of that enough people haven't seen him yet. Once they see him, and obviously the better the Blue Jays are, the more that they are on national television around the U.S. and people get the chance to actually watch him pitch a little more. I think a lot of people have seen him as a name in a box score versus actually watching what he does. And once you watch him pitch, nobody's sort of underestimating what his capabilities are anymore.
So what do you think that ceiling is for this Blue Jays rotation? Because they've got Yusei Kikuchi going tonight, and he's a big question mark for this team. Obviously, Hyunjin Ryu didn't get out of the gates with the best start. Berríos either, but I think over a sample that we have with him, that there's no real fear that that's an indicator of anything major. But when you look at the Jays and their rotation and how it stacks up in the American League, where do you kind of place them?
Right near the top. I think if Manoah is going to be as good as we think he is, I think Gausman was a great pickup. He's had a couple of really good years in San Francisco. I actually picked him to win the Cy Young Award this year. I don't know how that prediction will turn out. But you look at Gausman and Berríos and Manoah as your top three, it puts a lot less pressure on Ryu and Kikuchi. And I think, as long as those guys are able to go out there and keep the team in the game, with this lineup, there's no reason that they should not be good enough in the 4 or 5 spots behind those top three. The top three should help ease the load on the bullpen a little bit, keep them fresher for those other starts. The fact that you don't have Ryu and Kikuchi pitching back-to-back and you have Manoah in between them, I think will help that bullpen situation as well. So, I think the Jays with their offense That should also take some pressure off of all of these guys, because more nights than not, these guys should be pitching with leads rather than, you know, trying to hold a tie game or a one-run lead.
Certainly easier to pitch with five-run support versus three-run support, or in the Jays' case, sometimes 10-run support. The potency of this Jays lineup and just how good it projects to be, Mark, is that something that, like, is that a well-known thing around baseball and around teams like New York? Like, obviously here we're very excited, and there's a lot of talk of Vlad and Bo and Teoscar and Springer and you know, name your guy. But is this lineup already feared around baseball, or do they still have more to prove?
No, I think it's pretty feared around baseball. And I think when you look at a lot of the preseason prognostications, I would say 3 out of 5 that I saw had the Blue Jays representing the American League in the World Series. So people have taken notice, you know, when you've got a middle of the lineup with guys like Vlad and Springer and Hernandez and Bichette, and you've added Matt Chapman, and who knows what he's going to look like if he can bounce back with a big season. That's, I mean, that's as deep a lineup as you're going to find in the American League. So, I think people have taken notice. The fact that I believe more than half of the experts that I saw make predictions this season, you know, had the Blue Jays not only just winning the East, but actually getting to the World Series. So this team's not going to sneak up on anybody this year.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to ignore a Blue Jays team when you have you sign George Springer, and then the following season you have two young guys. Because I think that we always gravitate towards that too, right? Like, what's new? And Vladdy and Bo both had big names but are new and then end up coming through. And I think that gets basically the attention of everybody, right? Like, think about even how I know we perceive in Toronto, say, the Padres versus even paying attention to teams like the Dodgers throughout a regular season. You always want to see who the new players are, and when they have success, it does breed a lot of excitement around the game. So, what are we to make of Aaron Judge turning down a 7-year, $213.5 million extension with the New York Yankees? Like, where's the next step for you, and where is this heading?
This heads to free agency come November. It's really not much simpler than that. It's basically Aaron Judge placing a very, very large bet on himself and saying, you know, I'm going to be worth more than this. I'm going to stay healthy. I'm going to put up another MVP level year. And if I do that, I'm going to be getting more than 7 and 213. And, you know, it's a gamble for a guy who's in his age 30 season already, but you have to figure that's going to motivate him. Now there's always a chance that it has the reverse effect. And he sort of grips the bat a little too tight and maybe plays a little too hard and injures himself. I think injury is the only thing that would really stand in the way. It's hard for me to imagine that the Yankees would not have this offer there for him in November as well. So, you know, if he goes out and puts up a huge year, he'll end up making more. I mean, he wants, you know, 8 years, 9 years. That's not something we see very often for guys entering their age 31 seasons anymore. Most of these guys are, you know, signing to 36, maybe 37. Judge wants to sign to 38 or 39. So he's, you know, he's betting on himself. And at the end of the day, if he has a huge season, the Yankees have the money to sign him. That's not a question. But if I'm Brian Cashman, if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I don't know why I do more than what I've offered. I think they offered a very nice salary, a very nice package, over $30 million a year. It would have been the second highest paid outfielder on an average annual value. And when you look at the guys who got more guaranteed money, they were 26, 27 years old, right? Bryce Harper was 25, 26. Mookie Betts was 27. You know, when they signed their 12, 13-year deals, that took them essentially to the same area that, you know, that the Yankees have offered. You know, this is Judge's one shot at a huge contract. He's going to get a huge contract one way or another. But he's, you know, he's ready to go out there and work for his money.
Yeah, but he's 29 years old, and he doesn't have a body that's easy to project in the sport, which I think makes it especially difficult. I guess, like, my question to Judge would be, is, like, what is the risk here for you in terms of things turning sour? Not that I think Aaron Judge is going to have a bad year, or even if he gets injured, there wouldn't still be a big amount of money. But, yeah, entering your age 30 season, asking for 8 years, that's a tough one, especially given that you're the face of the Yankees right now. Like, do you think that there's any – he's been such a loved guy in that market now since he basically got started there. Do you think that there's any risk potential when it comes to things turning sour? You turn down that kind of a contract, which is pretty fair, with the New York Yankees, and then it starts to get, like, not to be the best season, do you believe that there is a sour potential when it comes to Judge, this organization, and how things could go this year?
Well, I think it's going to be a cloud hovering over them all year. If he's having a great year, it's going to be, wow, Judge really, cashing in that check. If he has a bad year, it's going to be, wow, I can't believe he turned down all that money. So the narrative is going to be there all year. As far as the relationship with the organization, I think there's a bigger chance that the fact that they're going to an arbitration hearing could have more of a sour effect on them than the fact that they couldn't come to a deal. I mean, I thought the Yankees were pretty smart in putting out there Brian Cashman getting behind a microphone and saying exactly what the offer was, so he can say to his fan base, look, this ridiculous narrative out there for the past 10 years that Hal Steinbrenner is cheap, he's not his father, he doesn't care about winning. Look, we offered this guy more than $30 million a year for 7 years into his late 30s. He wanted more. We don't think right now he's worth more. So, it's surprising to me to some extent that he turned it down, only because playing your entire career in New York as the face of the franchise, as we saw with Derek Jeter, and I'm not saying Aaron Judge is Derek Jeter, he's not going to have, the same type of impact and Hall of Fame level. He may be a Hall of Famer. He's not going to be a 99.4% Hall of Famer. But when you have that lifelong career with the Yankees, I think if they sign him, whether it's now or at the end of the year, he will be named the captain. He'll be added to that list of 12 or 14 guys who have ever been captain of this team. The earnings potential off the field in that case is so much higher than anywhere else. Mike Trout's been the best player in baseball for a decade. He's got some endorsements. He's not a nationally known figure the way that Derek Jeter was. So I think Judge maybe, if he leaves New York, I think that will become apparent to him. Ultimately, I think he stays. The injuries have been an issue for him, but the injuries that he's had, he got hit by a pitch and broke his hand. That's a fluke. He dove for a ball and broke a rib. That's a fluke injury. It's not a lingering calf issue. It's not a lingering back issue or a rotator cuff issue. So, if Judge can avoid those sorts of fluky injuries somehow this year and put up his normal, 35, 40 home run, 110 RBI, 900 OPS season, there'll be a big pot of gold waiting for him at the end of the rainbow.
Mark, you wrote the book Mission 27, A New Boss, A New Ballpark, and One Last Ring for the Yankees Core Four, about the Yankees' last World Series victory in 2009. That's a long gap between World Series as far as the Yankees are concerned. And I know they've made the postseason 5 years in a row. But how much of that, everything you just laid out for Aaron Judge in terms of if this, all these things come, how much of that is contingent on, hey, this team's got to have real success with you at the helm too, because this is a franchise that, yeah, they saint guys, they anoint guys, but that's always come with postseason success as well. And again, it's early, but the AL East is not getting any worse, and the Yankees are getting, they're older compared to some of the other teams in the division. So how much pressure that falls on Judge, or falls on the front office, to make the most of this core as they enter, most of the guys here in their early 30s?
Well, I'm not sure it matters in terms of his contract or his future in New York. I mean, when you look at the years that they've gone out in the playoffs, a lot of the times the pitching has been the problem, and that's why they went out and got Garrett Cole, and then he sort of spit the bit last year against Boston in the playoffs. So, if you can't pitch, you're not going to win. It's just how baseball playoffs work. And when you look back at like that 09 team with Sabathia and AJ Burnett and Andy Pettit, you had Rivera at the end of the bullpen, that's the reason they won. I mean, they had some big clutch hits from guys like A-Rod and Teixeira, but you need to pitch to win, which is why when you look at a team like the Blue Jays and say they're going to go into a playoff series with, Manoah, Gausman, and Berrios, and they're going to be in really good shape, the Yankees, who would they be going into a playoff series with right now? You'd have Cole, Luis Severino, who hasn't been an effective pitcher in this league in over 3 years because of injuries. Jordan Montgomery, young and untested. Jameson Taillon, fairly untested, whole career in Pittsburgh, pitching, meaningless games. So I think people look at the pitching as being sort of the main suspect of why the Yankees have not had the success that they had before. If Judge goes out there and performs like he is capable of performing in the regular season and then goes out in the playoffs and hits well and they still lose, I don't think anybody's going to be looking at it and saying, well, but we haven't won with you, so I'm not sure about giving you this money. you know, I think people, certainly Brian Cashman, who's been doing this for a quarter century, which is staggering to think about, I think Brian certainly looks at it and understands what, you know, sort of what blame lays at whose feet.
Aaron Judge, homerless so far this year, but potentially licking his chops against a lefty pitcher who's a little prone to the long ball in Yusei Kikuchi tonight. That's Jays Yankees game two. Mark Feinsand, MLB Network insider, MLB.com executive reporter, and author of Mission 27 about the 2009 Yankees World Series run. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Mark Feinsand, MLB Network insider, Mission 27. The idea of getting to write a book about a World Series baseball team, I know I missed the opportunity to write a book about an NBA championship team, but man, there's something
romantic about
that. You're
definitely writing one after this season, eh?
Well, I don't know. Can you guys afford to lose me for that long?
You could have done what Shai did, which is just write about a horrible losing baseball team. It's like, hey, remember these guys? They sure stunk. Like these guys were stinkers.
Suckiest bunch of sucks who ever sucked. Yeah.
Remember how much these guys sucked? Hey, I kind of led the witness a little bit there, trying to get him to say something about Judge and getting sour. But I am curious about, because, okay, part of the reason why I think Stanton is so unpopular amongst Yankee fans is because Judge is right there ahead of him. It's like a little bit of the Tavares-Matthews thing where one guy is younger and more exciting and more prolific. And so you compare the older, higher paid, or not higher paid in his case, but high paid guy to him and go, well, why aren't you this? But now Judge, in turning down the Yankees, I kind of wonder just a little bit if the fans start to create a little bit of separation with their love between them and Judge. Like, that's a hard thing to swallow or hear, I think, if you're a Yankee fan, that Aaron Judge wouldn't re-sign here for 7 years at over $200 million when the average salary is plus 30 mil and it's put right there with his peers. Like, okay, was there no wiggle room for the negotiation if, say, he wanted like a few million dollars more to make this settle properly? He's turning 30 years old. Giving him an 8-year contract or a 9-year contract, it's tough to imagine a smart GM like Brian Cashman doing a move like that. So my hope is, anyways, Blake, that he continues to not hit those home runs, that you didn't curse Yusei Kikuchi tonight with that statement, and that
the reverse jinx, JD.
yeah.
Putting it out there as, ooh, this could happen, so now I wear it if it doesn't happen.
As a real believer in the RJ and who throws them out sometimes even at the expense of getting hit up on Twitter in a harsh way, I'm fully with this. Either way, I do wonder what it looks like if the Yankees are a bit of a disappointing team this year. Judge isn't all the way Judge, and he turned down that contract. If things could get a little ugly in the Bronx, that's all. That's all I'm saying is that,
well,
maybe
let's just throw this out there. If we're throwing things out there,
yeah,
you know, one of the most notable baseball transactions of my baseball fandom was Johnny Damon going Red Sox to Yankees.
Oh yeah.
What if Aaron Judge looks at what's happening in Toronto and is like, you know what? That lineup could use another righty. Righty power bat. No, I think Judge ultimately stays there. Mark Feinsand lays out a pretty good case for why. They just got to get the money right. How excited
can't take
are we
Teo's defense out of right field now.
No, you absolutely can't. Now that Lourdes Gurriel showed him you don't have to be a good defensive outfielder to win a gold glove, Teoscar's all over the place now. Hopefully
Big play yesterday.
Yeah, hopefully his wrist is okay. Catch. How excited are we about the Blue Jays? Whoever wrote the copy for today's contest giveaway had the Blue Jays in there instead of the Leafs, even though we're giving away Leafs tickets. Ailish, hit him.
Yeah, we were about to read the read, and it said that we might be giving away Jays tickets. Unfortunately, that's not our show, maybe another show, but we are giving away Leafs tickets. So a pair of tickets to the April 19th home game against the Philadelphia Flyers. All you have to do is download today's episode of the Fan Morning Show. Listen for the code word that is placed somewhere in the podcast. Once you've identified the code word, text it to 590-590 for your chance to win. The winner will be selected tomorrow. April 19th home game against the Philadelphia Flyers. Find the code word, text it in, and you could be today's lucky winner.
Also in that text line, just keep sending us your questions, your takes. Raptors, Leafs, Jays, Tiger, F1.
Oh, Tiger, F1.
Whatever you got for us. NBA play-in games. We're going to take some more of your texts in the final block of the show. Let's take a break first, but keep those coming to 590, 590, and we'll kick them around after the break. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590, The Fan.
The code word for today's episode to text to 590, 590 to qualify for your shot to win Leafs Flyers tickets on April 19th is Farabee.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Fan Morning Show. I am JD Bunkus. She is Ailish Forfar, and he is Blake Murphy. And you can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar, and of course, Blake Murphy.
You can follow Blake Murphy on Spotify too.
Yeah, you can do that.
He's a man of many platforms.
He is a man of many platforms. I want to see Blake do TikTok dances, you know? Like that's the
oh
next that's
Oh my
the new,
god, the, not a chance
last,
in the world.
The last frontier is Blake does TikTok dances or he reviews books, you know, in TikToks. He goes like, "Here's a book that you don't need to read. Here's 60 seconds of me talking." TikTok is 60 seconds. Less than 60
seconds. They've actually moved it to like 5, and some creators have a 10-minute platform now. So, like, it's basically a movie.
That's too much. Like, first of all,
60 seconds was the whole idea of it.
You know what, though? In a way, I'm kind of glad because the youths need longer attention spans. So maybe the youths could use it. This is actually a scenario where I go, good, let the youths have to watch something for 10 whole minutes. It's why whenever – don't you guys sit down and sometimes watch a whole baseball game and go, what kid – under 15 years old is ever going to watch this sport? Like, what are sports even to a kid that's under 15? They're highlights. They're on Instagram. You can watch the YouTube video, the breakdown in 9 minutes. Jays in 30 will be popular, but will Jays in 3 hours be popular? I don't know. I have a tough time believing. Maybe Ennis's kids are the future where they can go to a ballpark 2 hours early and survive the entire thing. Maybe it's
well,
all
with
on
our broadcast team. Jays in 3 hours is certainly popular.
Okay, yeah, just with our team. Yes, good job.
Go
so, go Sportsnet, go. I've always said that. So, I asked a question earlier because Ailish found out that patio furniture is actually expensive, that it's not just wicker, cheap wicker. Ailish thought, can I ask you a question? What did you think you were going to spend on patio furniture? Like,
okay,
what was your patio budget going
between $250 and $350?
Dollars?
Yeah. I've never
like,
had a patio and
$250. Oh my
well,
god.
Like,
okay,
first of all, you can get like those little.
Do you think you were getting dollhouse stuff? Like what is
okay.
like $250?
Like, table and chairs, the metal table and chairs for that much money. Those are still available. But then I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna upgrade and get like the sofa, the chaise lounge, the cushions, yeah. The table, the stuff that opens up and you can store your cushions in, and then that jump from $250 to $300 is like $1,000 to $2,000. It's a significant difference for comfort, but I have a really big, nice patio space, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy that when we're done the show at 10 a.m. every day and sit out there and soak up some sun, so I might as well pay for it.
So I love $250. You thought, oh, it's probably only $100 more for
I was thinking of those chairs that you bring to your kids' soccer games.
No, this is yeah, exactly. This is outrageous. Even those can be like those can get up to around
$250. Yeah, those are now $200.
So yeah, one is that in the world of inflation we're dealing with finding out new things about new prices anyways. But yeah, here's the lesson is that you can always buy trash. Like, trash is always available for cheap, okay? Like, there's always cheap trash out there. Like, you want some cheap trash, it's good. You buy anything that's of quality goods, it's like you're probably going to have to pay a pretty penny. For me, what I think that growing up that you realize what is really expensive that you didn't realize is if you want nice towels or nice bedding.
Oh, my God, yes.
Nice towels, you think, okay, what does a good towel cost? And you're like, I don't know,
50 bucks?
Wrong! Like, towels are expensive. And all of a sudden, you buy towels and you go, well, I can't just have some cheap crap towel. Like, I want something that absorbs the moisture. And all of a sudden, you end up spending significant money on towels. Bed sheets the same way. Totally worth it. You have to go big on bed sheets, in my opinion.
Spend half your life in bed.
Yes, exactly. I'm a huge go big on nice pillows, nice comforter, nice bed sheets, all of that. But you kind of think of like the sheets as the interchangeable whatevers, you know, as a part of the bed. And when you get older and you have to actually buy your own, you go like, wow, how did our parents ever have multiple kids in multiple beds with sheets? How is this even a possibility for all of us? Blake, anything that comes to mind here for you? Like, did you think of anything? Have you ever bought an expensive towel? Have you ever bought expensive bed sheets? Have you ever bought...
Yes, so anyway, I moved bought anything? Into... Yeah, I have a whole apartment here. Yeah. I ran into the bedding one when I moved into my new place. I splurged and got all new stuff, and I got a new bed frame and a new couch and new bed sheets and all that stuff. The answer is everything. Everything is very expensive.
Yeah, everything costs money, yeah.
Here's a first world problem for me. I used to get my sticks for free. I used to get my skates for free.
Come
I used
on.
To get
you
skate sharpening
deal.
For free. No. Well, when
you can't get your sticks from free
nope,
from friends.
I can't. Well, okay, that's different. Hey, Laura,
that's not different.
Can I have your used Bauer stick, please? I really need it. Like, I don't want to be a loser of my Olympian friends.
As if someone. Well, no, she doesn't want to be a mooch off her Olympian friends. She just said that in real life. She just said that in real life, in real time. You
for other things, not for their gear, though. Like, that's their stuff. Like, I don't want to take their stick. It's, you know, it's their stick.
But if you're on the national team, you get, like, mucho sticks for free. Like, you don't just get one stick from the company you're with. You get a whole ton. And I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty reasonable ask, considering that not to talk out of school, but I know people who have gotten free sticks from people who have family members who do certain things, you know? Like, that's a pretty easy one to get. So I'm not giving you the you can't get free sticks. You're just embarrassed.
I can get free sticks.
Yeah.
I don't choose to.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But what I was saying about the difference of prices is, like, even getting your skate sharp, and I haven't had to do that before. Mm-hmm. My trainer would do it. You're like, this is $12-$20 for some guy just like to rip your skates on a machine and not know what your like groove is. That buying any type of hockey gear from the last time I had to buy it, which was in high school till now, significant price increase.
You just made me realize what a business opportunity it would be to open up a skate sharpening store directed right at former, like, pro and semi-pro hockey players who have no idea what the prices are.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, this is a real difficult skill, you know?
Sure,
like, this is, they're like, is $1,000 okay? You're like, I guess for you, we could sharpen these skates for $1,000 so that you don't fall down. Okay, so things that are expensive that you didn't think that would be as an adult. That's always open to the text line Tuesday, which it is today. So text 590-590. You can also reach us on those DMs on the socials that we mentioned, at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar, and Blake Murphy. Ailish, what do we got?
All right, we got some Jays, and we got some Leafs, and we got some Raptors. And let's just sprinkle around all of them. So
what a surprise.
Just show the diversity of our show and our listeners. Just so impressive. Mike and Newmarket.
Sad no F1.
There is an F1. I will get to that too. Mike in Newmarket, good morning. Do you think Mitch Marner quickly or quietly sneaks in to win the Lady Banger Frank Selke trophy while everyone else's eyes are on Austin Matthews?
A Lady Bing, I don't care. Like, honestly, I who looks at that? If you, I can't imagine caring.
I'm currently
if someone
Googling
won.
Who won last year because I forgot.
No, but imagine caring. Like, I remember when Alexander McGillney won it, and it was kind of like, oh, great. To me, the Lady Bing is an embarrassing award. Like, I'm sorry, but it is. Shout out, unless you're Pavel Datsyuk, where you're so good and you're doing, but yeah, Lady Bing is kind of like the you're soft award. Like, take a penalty once in a while, take one or two, like none. That's embarrassing. So Lady Bing, nah, I couldn't care less. In fact, I don't want it. Like, if I won the Lady Bing, I'd be like, nah,
can
don't
I
tell
return
anybody.
This?
Yeah, don't tell anybody that. I want a secret. It's a secret. I'll take this at a hidden ceremony. I don't want
it. Again, to go back to when to go back to what I had just mentioned of, hey, I was moving not all that long ago, and as part of that, I was going through some stuff in storage, and that includes some of, you know, I had a couple boxes at my mom's that include, like, oh, the awards you won in school or when you were playing hockey and stuff like that.
You
and
definitely won the spelling bee.
There's no, we didn't have spelling bee, but I won all the speech competitions.
Nice.
So we didn't have Lady Bing, but the amount of most sportsmanlike things that I had in there was a lot. That's not good. Yeah, it's too many.
That's too many. Yeah, I don't know.
That's how you get the A on the jersey, though. Be a good guy.
Some of us wanted the C on the jersey.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I wasn't generally a good enough player on most of those teams to get the C. God, but A, you slide in there comfortably of like, hey, good guy, doesn't do dumb things on the ice. You're fine.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, let's talk about a little bit of a Raptors betting prop. Raptors at +7,000 to win seems odd, especially considering the Clippers and Jazz are only +2,500. Just $5, Trevor in Toronto. Well, Trevor in Toronto, you know, just $5 is my mentality. I've yet to win a just $5. I'll tell you that, to be honest. But it's
just
fun.
$5 adds up. Just $5 can
add up to $200 worth of dumb bets, Ailish.
I don't think Raptors winning a championship is worth even just $5. I don't see a scenario where the team is good enough yet to get through multiple rounds, especially considering that the Celtics are there. They figure to get Time Lord back, some people believe, in this next series. The Bucks are there. The Heat would be such a tough out. I think that they could beat the Heat, but it's a tough out. Like, they're not even favored to win their first series. Maybe we think it's a coin toss, but that's just not even good enough value for me. Like, I don't want to bet the Jazz, because guess what? I don't think the Jazz can win either. I would say that the following teams could win the NBA championship this year. The Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors. There's at least a path for the Golden State Warriors, right? Like, I could see that. The Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, and I'm pretty sure that's the end of my list.
So, sorry, what was the Raptors line that this person mentioned again?
They said it was +7,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say the Raptors have a 40% chance in every series. That's high. But let's say they independent events, they have 40% every series. You'd need a money line of about +4,000 for that to be a worthwhile bet. But we don't think that they have the implied probability for this series is 40%. But let's say that goes down to 35% the next two rounds, and then the West is stronger, so it's 30% after that. Then you're looking at the line needs to be +7,000. So that's about what the market is suggesting there, is the Raptors have a 40% chance here, and then 35% chance each of the next two rounds, and then 30% chance in the final. If you think those numbers are low, sure, a +7,000 bet makes some sense, but that's why the odds are so long, because you got to stack a lot of low probability things on top of each other.
I would also say that, the whole considering what the Clippers and Jazz are, the Western Conference is much easier this season. Also, with the Clippers, there's the potential of, if they get out of this play-in game, there are rumors that Kawhi could come back. Like, he's at least moving around. Kawhi is at least a name that you're allowed to utter in the city of Los Angeles right now. And with the Utah Jazz, again, it's that the Western Conference to me is a little bit more open and they have some more known commodities. But yeah, like the Raptors, the Raptors just have a tougher path. I mentioned all those teams that I think could win the NBA championship. I didn't even say the Brooklyn Nets, but it's like, out of the title favorites right now, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, all being ahead of the Raps, I think that just makes it a really tough path.
Okay, speaking of divisions, morning, folks. Jim from Aurelia.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim. The Blue Jays' schedule could allow them to sink the whole division in 1 month. Boston is 3 games back already. Good start for the Jays compared to their rivals, but I got to look ahead at the schedule. What's
long
the difficulty
season,
ahead?
Yeah.
It's early, but that was an it's early, but from Jim.
I would say, Jim, it's early, but no. No. you don't lose. You got to have a pretty disastrous April for that to be the case where someone is done in the first month of April. We learn this every year as we get excited, and that's why we have our bit of it's early but, and when we're talking about the Blue Jays, because you want to talk about the team and you want to have takes on baseball. But the problem with baseball, and kind of what sucks about it as a sport you discuss, is that any take you have almost always ends up coming back to bite you in the ass because it's a regression sport both ways. And it's like the samples guys put up year over year almost always turn out to be like relatively within that ballpark. So, yeah, I'm going to say there's no scenario where we're writing off any of these teams in a month, or there's no scenario certainly where the Jays pull ahead of three really good baseball teams in the month of April by a meaningful margin.
That'd be fun, though.
Would it?
No, it definitely wouldn't be. I mean, it'd be easier for us. We'd just be like, well, okay, they're going to the postseason. They're going to crush it. But I think, obviously, the competition makes it more fun to watch. So yeah. Maybe not.
This is the classic betting thing, right? Is that people always go, oh, it's not a sweat. It's not a sweat. It's not a sweat. But then you win a bet that's not a sweat, and what happens? You start looking for another bet. Because what you're chasing isn't necessarily the win with the money. It's the little bit of the adrenaline spike of watching a game, right? Like, it's why yesterday when I gave out my Jays first five bets, Blake said, like, yeah, it's good. But then the last four innings of the game, you're like, what do I bet on? You know, my bet is done. What do we do now? Where to next?
Let's keep it on Blue Jays. So, Ryan, dating back to last year, have you been more impressed with Bo or Vladdy's defense? And Espinal seems like he might be on the verge of breaking out. What could his potential be? A little double question
Bo,
there.
Obviously, by like a factor of 10 million. Bo played shortstop.
He looked great last night. Hey, that double play he made?
Ooh. Yeah. Blake, you have any thought? Like, I don't
know. No. I think you. It's a pretty straightforward one. Like the range of outcomes at first base are just not that wide. Like Vlad's a good defensive first baseman.
Sure.
He's made some nice splits and some nice chase downs into that kind of right field dead zone early on here. But yeah, I mean, shortstop is just way more important.
What about the Espinal part of that question? What could his ceiling be? He asked, Espinal has been looking great. What would his expectations or ceiling be this year?
I mean, it's
or
certainly
potential
not hitting,
is exactly
yeah,
how he
yeah, certainly not hitting 455 for the whole year. But I think if Espinal, like a good season for Espinal is this isn't a platoon a month from now or 2 months from now. This is he's wrestled away every day at bats, and he's already a very, very good defensive player with a good bat-to-ball profile. If any of this... And he's not even, like... We're not talking he's roping home runs yet. He has two long doubles, two loud singles, and then one kind of fluky single. But right now, he's in the 98th percentile for expected batting average when he puts balls in play. So this is a guy who can hit 300. And if you're doing that with very, very good defense at a premium position... Boy, do you not have to do a lot of other stuff.
Do you have any fun ones? I'm bored
yes,
by this.
Okay,
where's
okay,
the fun?
Okay. Laundry and dish soap. Side note, a dishwasher that only lasts 3 years. This is talking about expensive things, you know?
Okay. Dish soap being too expensive is like, no, that's not true. You can get dish soap for dirt cheap. I've had like, I bought a jug of dish soap that sits under my sink that's like a refill. Yeah, because it's a refill bottle, right? Like you refill the bottle of soap with the refill jug. Soap is cheap. It's dirt cheap. That's why they give it away for free for you at baseball. Like, you know, you wash your hands at every public venue. It's just out there. You know, it's cheap. It's nothing. So no, I disagree with this one. Laundry detergent is slightly more expensive, I guess. But again, you can get reasonable cheap options. Like, it's not something where you make a big compromise when you grab whatever's on sale, which is the way most of us buy laundry detergent. So, no, that's a horrible one, whoever wrote that in. Like, shame on you for even thinking that that was one a good one, even remotely a good one. Shame,
or
shame,
Will.
Shame.
Will from
Will,
Niagara.
Shame,
sorry
shame,
about
Will,
that.
Shame.
Okay, so let's do one more of that. Appliances, bed sheets, car insurance, any plumber.
Yeah, any plumber is a good one. Any plumber is a great one. Is a really. Have you guys ever had to call a plumber?
No,
never.
Okay, so I rent, right? And so do like you guys. And so people don't know about plumbers. But then, so we had to sell my dad's house and call a plumber to fix some of the stuff in the house, make sure everything's good. It's $1 million. Like, if you want, if I had, honest to God, if I had a kid, I'd be like, what do you want to be? Like, I'd be a plumber. It's you're going to be so rich. I feel like you go to like I want to go to a plumber's house. I want to know what it looks like inside of a plumber's house. It must be amazing. Like it's like an episode of Cribs. You show up there, they're like, "This is my 5-car garage," and you go like, "This makes sense based on what you guys are commanding for you to show up in places." Like it's incredible. It's really, really incredible. Plumbers, like all-time rich guy move, is like you could be the richest person alive if you want to be a plumber. I'm telling you, it's like the most lucrative career on Earth. It's like Elon Musk, you can invent Tesla or you can fix people's pipes, and you one of those two things, that's how you get rich.
My only
tell me I'm wrong, plumbers. Like,
yeah,
honestly,
plumbers, text in, please.
Well, no, actually, the plumber part's not wrong. The Elon Musk part is wrong, where that he got wealthy by inheriting a lot of wealth. That's the main way to get rich, is to have generated family money.
It's true. Honestly, if there's one way that I could get rich, it would totally be just getting free money from someone, like a lot.
Let me
of
be
it.
A fail be son.
Yeah, like
the only plumber experience that I almost had was this actual apartment that I live at. Like the water tank just kept running consistently, and it was really annoying to listen to. Like, just it worked properly, but it just kept running. So I called my dad because I'm still, you know, hey, how do I fix this? And he walked me through on FaceTime how to like change the length of the chain in the tank, and I did it all myself, and I was very proud of myself. But didn't have to call a plumber. So
yeah, hey.
Saved lots of money.
I will tell you that if you do any plumbing on your own, like anything, and for me it was the same thing where it's like taking apart a sink, you really do feel like, oh my God, it's incredible what's on YouTube, by the way. Don't tell the plumbers. Don't let the plumbers actually will silence me for saying to you that there's some stuff that you can figure out.
There's a cheat code.
Like, I've fixed some toilet stuff and some sink stuff using YouTube, and I am the least handy person ever. This is not a brag. This is not – like, I know a lot of ladies listen to the show. They know that I'm single. They're like, oh, now he fixes stuff too. No, don't get it confused.
Yeah, come on over. Fix my stuff, baby.
Don't, ladies, calm down. It's not true what you heard about me having the ability to fix things. I need YouTube. But using YouTube, you can figure out some stuff. And, like, I'm sorry, big plumbing. There's a few things you can do in there. And when you do it, it's very, very satisfying. Gross, but satisfying is the way that I would say. If I had a YouTube channel about plumbing, that's what it would be called. Gross, but satisfying.
It's certainly worth it.
How to Save $1 Million would be the other name of my YouTube channel.
Plumbing for Dummies. So the other day I dropped my keys down my elevator shaft, right?
I thought it was a stranger that you were asking for a friend.
No, it was me. I was going to get my Uber Eats. This is a bad story because I was lazy. I Uber Eats. I go down there, pick up my food from the lobby, and you still have to buzz into your specific unit number now because they're not allowing people in. So I'm holding the Uber Eats, which is a huge thing of Indian food. I'm going in. I'm waiting for the door to open, and then I walk and the keys fall directly from my hand straight down the slot. Like, it did not touch the walls of the tiny 1-inch slot. Yeah, it went so straight down to the bottom, and I stood there watching it like slow motion, like a movie. And I heard it clink at the bottom. So it landed, and I'm standing there stunned. Nobody saw. I go to the front desk like, "Hello, ma'am. Like, I just dropped my keys down the elevator chute." She goes, "Oh, you're the third one this week." And I said, "Well, did you extend the gap between the elevator and the
third
wall?"
Third one this week.
There's something going on in my building. So the long story short about things that are expensive, to just call the elevator technician to say, "Hey, can I get my keys back?" $500 to have them come to shut down the elevators to get your keys at the bottom of the elevator chute.
Yeah, they got you by the short and curlies. Who else are you going to call? They're like, "It's just me."
Exactly.
There's no other second elevator guy.
Yeah. And it's dangerous, and you have to be accompanied by, you know, police. It's just that this whole thing. So she said that's option one. Option two is to get all my keys replaced. The fob was $100. The actual specific key to the door was, I think, $80. And then there's a post office key on it. And she goes, "Well, I'm not even going to tell you how much that is because they replaced the entire Canada Post box on your thing." So I had those two options. Luckily, my landlord came through and she had a spare set. So I'm still able to lock my doors, safety first. But yeah, that's expensive. Don't ever drop your keys down the elevator chute is the end of that story.
people were like, I was going to just to see for a laugh.
Just but hold them very tight. And now I'm going to get one of those massive keychains with the big like poofy thing at the end. So
no,
it
get the
fall
boat keychain. You got to get the boat keychain,
oh, yeah,
right?
The
big floaty attachment.
I'm going to order one the second that the show is over.
1,000%, because two reasons. One, people will think that you have a boat, which is very cool. You know,
you have a boat,
very
actually.
Cool. Well, your parents have a
family
boat.
Boat.
Yeah, it's a family boat. And
why?
Two is that it work.
Why would the
it.
Boat thing help you unless the elevator is submerged in water, though? Why would having a floaty yeah. device on your keychain matter?
Well, it just looks cool when you're
it's
in the
big.
Elevator and you're swinging
no,
around your boat thing.
It won't
yeah,
fall
it's
down the
chunky.
Crack.
It won't
it's
fit
a big
down
chunky
there.
Thing that doesn't – it's not like it's just like a small thing. It's a big floaty thing so that you see it when it falls in the water. It's like yellow and big. I think that's cool. I think that's actually the – if you live in a condo or an apartment building, I think you should all be rocking around with the boat things. Again, this is another business idea. First business idea, getting rubes to think that sharpening skates is more expensive than it is. Business idea number two, becoming a plumber and getting – how to get a quick million plumbing. Other get rich quick scheme, sell the floaty boaty keychains to people who live in apartment buildings. Ailish, you should open up a shop, like a little stand.
Honestly,
order
a little,
100
on the
of them
of the street.
Yep. Order 100 of them from Amazon, sit in the lobby and have a little infomercial, be like, has this ever happened to you? And it's like the keys falling down the elevator shaft. You're going to be rich. Honestly, I just made you
I'm
rich.
I'm on Amazon right now. You can get 26 boat keychains for $18.99.
Honest to God, you sell one of
them.
Those keychains. Yes, you sell each keychain for $3 a pop. People think it's the deal of the century. You're doing
and there's
great.
Different colors. Like, people can pick. It's like,
love it.
You know, variety. Maybe I can do something where you get, like, your custom name engraved for an extra, like, $60.
Honestly, I don't know why I work in radio. I should be 100% poached by some business. You know when people tell you, like, a headhunter hired them for a job and you go, wow, yes. That must be cool, getting headhunted. I guess it did happen to Blake, so that's cool. He can't relate to us peons, but.
I've never been headhunted.
How did you end up here, headhunter? Did you
well,
end
not
up
through a headhunter?
Yeah, but a hunter of heads
Dan.
From a yeah,
Dan.
But he hunted your head. He hunted your head. All right, he went out. He saw your head. He hunted the hell out of it.
Here's the thing about headhunters, though, JD, is like I know you want some of these lucrative idea man jobs.
Yeah.
Those tend to go with to people with an education or experience.
Yeah. I'm educated. I went to Carleton University. Have you seen how many basketball championships we have? Like, okay,
that's huge.
it's massive. It's so sick. We have a football team now. No big deal. Not while I was there, but now we do. So I don't know. I just want to get headhunted one time, okay, for a random thing. Like, I want one headhunter to look me up. Like, I
you
want to
get
I
headhunted?
Wonder...
Let's go play a game of baseball, and I'll be on the mound. You can get plenty headhunted.
Whoa.
Wow, this got really contentious just because we didn't cut you in on the boat keychain idea. Or what? Like...
It's the Alec Manoah effect. I just want to bean guys to establish my dominance of the zone.
We wouldn't cut you
here.
In on the boat keychains, and now you want to take me out steal my business.
I'm Charlie and Frank when the guys at Always Sunny get a boat, just chucking overhand keys at each other and having to swim down to get them. No boat floaty for me.
Yeah, I love
text
it.
In Ryan and Markham. My friend is a plumber. His house is ridiculous. Yeah,
yeah,
we're on to you scam artists. It costs over $2,000 to get your gutters cleaned and sealed.
Yeah,
I think I don't have any
okay.
Here.
As someone,
but that's a hard job.
As someone who's been a window washer / gutter cleaner,
you've
in
got
the past,
some interesting jobs, Blake.
I've worked every job.
No, but that's a fair price. I actually think that's a bad one because it's like that's a fair price.
I would just
price.
Say it doesn't trickle down to the employees doing the gutter cleaning.
Blake's gonna make this
themselves.
About
equality for gutter cleaners.
Everything is about ending capitalism for me.
Yeah,
everything
I mean, how hard is it to
means,
start your own gutter cleaning?
Seize the means
like,
of gutter cleaning production,
Blake. Did you feel like you needed the tools from the gutter cleaning and sealing place that you couldn't embark out on your own? Like,
isn't
I feel
it
like
just
this
your
is...
hands? You wear some gloves and you get up there and
Blake,
you just rake it
Blake,
out.
Blake's getting screwed by some old guy that ran
Look,
the business. He's like, it didn't
I'm
trickle down. Like, just to you. You're the only one who
there.
Got scammed. You're
that
the only one who got
taking
scammed.
That old guy taking $1,900 of the $2,000 just sitting at
you
home.
You gotta go. We got to go because they're on TV now. So we got to break and Vic's all crying in my ear about
big
it. All right.
Guys.
So it was the Fan Morning Show. Thanks for listening. Sorry, Vic cried. I won't. Well, maybe less crying from Vic tomorrow. JD, Blake, and Ailish, Sports at 590 The Fan.